This is the FM Gold Channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on India-Cyprus bilateral relations. The participants are Neelam D. Sabharwal, former diplomat, and Mahendra Ved, journalist.
President Ramnath Kovind is on a three-nation tour of Europe, and his first stop is in Cyprus. He's already there, and a lot of interaction has taken place with his counterpart, President Nikos Anastasiades. Two MOUs, Memorandum of Understanding, have been signed, and he has addressed the parliament there, House of Representatives. Ambassador Sabharwal, how do you view this visit?
Actually, I think it's a matter of great satisfaction to see the steady momentum of high-level visits between India and Cyprus. We were fortunate to receive the President of Cyprus last year, and so quickly a return visit is taking place. I think this is very much in keeping with our traditional and time-tested friendship with the Republic of Cyprus. You know, our relations go back to the time of our own founding fathers. It was a friendship between Archbishop Makarios and Pandit Nehru, and there have been many, many special milestones in this relationship.
It is two presidents and two prime ministers from here have visited. And yes, Mr. Venkatraman was there. Pratibha Patil had gone after that, 2009. Late Mr. V.V. Giri was there. And of the prime ministers, Indiraji was there in their 1983 visit. So it was a major visit. And as you said, President Anastasiades was here last year and within a year. So it has been high-level visits that characterized the relationship between India and Cyprus.
That is true, I think, right since the beginning. And as you rightly said, that, you know, from our side too. Though from our side, because of, you know, we have many more and multiple engagements with the world, I think that the gaps have usually not been as quick as much as on the Cyprus side. There has been almost a tradition for each of the presidents, each of the Cypriot presidents, to visit India. And from our side too, I must say, as you've just enumerated, starting with President Giri, where the bust of Mahatma Gandhi was installed just outside the parliament, then President Venkatraman, and of course Pratibha Patilji, and the other major visits that have taken place of the Mrs. Gandhi's visit, certainly very historic, but Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee's visit, which is of course of the more recent of the prime ministerial visits, was highly successful. For one, you know, it was during that time Cyprus was very preoccupied in its run-up to joining the European Union, so it was soon going to move away from its non-aligned identity, as it were, and it was quite a big paradigm shift, even if the heart was with India or with Asia. But, you know, in terms of policies and preferences, they would then have to go along with the European Union. But that was a visit during which, and it was very important because at that time India was also mounting the G4 initiative for its candidature as a permanent member to the Security Council. And Cyprus, I remember, in a loud and clear voice, they supported India's claim for permanent seat.
And as it is, G4 is very much the thing even now. India is along with Japan, Germany and Brazil. Consistent support coming from Cyprus to India's quest for a place in the UN Security Council.
That is true, and let me just say in that it is not as though Cyprus has not faced pressures from other major powers or other players, because they have friends, they have very good friends within the European Union, and as you know, the G4 initiative was not so readily supported by other members in European Union, who were then looking at, you know, a kind of a rotating seat for EU or other EU members. So, and there were also pressures from the existing members of the Security Council. But that is the strength of this relationship, that they withstood it after making this transition to from being a member of the Asian group to and now a full-fledged member of the European Union. So, and as you talk of this, Mr. Ved, I think this has been one touchstone of our testing the friendship or commitment of our friends. It was not only on this very, very important issue, but let me also say on the nuclear suppliers group, Cyprus was the first country to support India's candidature. Actually, most of us didn't even know that, you know, they were members of the NSG, of the 42-member grouping.
Of cooperation on international issues and international forums. Although, as you said, Cyprus could be under pressure from fellow Europeans, but then that's how the international diplomacy is conducted.
I mean, there was no dilution, let us say, of their support to us. And there was another very important moment when President Kleridis in 1998-99, I think, who's from the same political party as the President of Cyprus, when at the time of India's nuclear tests and the European Union was considering very stringent resolutions against India, and Cyprus was at that time poised to join the European Union, was making all the internal preparations and arrangements to meet the various criteria. And at that point, they showed the courage to stand aside and support India's, that they understood really why India had to go for the nuclear test, taking that big political risk. So, but mind you, it is also, as you just said, it's not a one-way traffic. You know, it's not a one-way street.
Yes.
I mean, there is much that can be said about India's own acts of consistent friendship with Cyprus.
A lot of symbolisms attached to this relationship. And it shows that there is a great amount of affinity between the people. Yeah.
You just got the sort of essence of the relationship in the sense of affinity, as you say, because a very senior political personality in Cyprus once said to me, besides Greece, they said that, you know, if you open our heart, there will be India written on it. You would ask why. I mean, basically, it's not just independence, like same experience as India. I mean, we won our freedom through our own national movement and freedom struggle. So did Cyprus from the British in 1960, because the problem of their 70% Greek community and almost 27-28% of the Turkish Cypriot community, they were, the constitution was running into a lot of problems, and there were internal difficulties which ended up in a kind of coup d'etat, which was trying to overthrow Archbishop Makarios, who was the president and who was of course then restored. And it was the great support of the non-aligned movement, and India was the chair, that we supported Cyprus's right and claim to be Republic of Cyprus. So this is why they feel that, and you know, the we sort of help in preserving Republic of Cyprus's international identity. And also the Indian army, in our generals and others who participated in the UN peacekeeping forces there, because after 64 there were troubles between 64 and 74, so there have been UN peacekeeping forces, and three of our generals have been there, and who have again made some very historic contributions, which I only learned from the people in Cyprus. They appreciate, because they feel at the time when they faced this problem of Turkish invasion, they felt that had the Indian general Premchand not declared the airport, which was dividing the northern and the southern side of Cyprus, had not declared it as a UN area, they would have probably just walked deeper.
President Kovind has formally once again thanked Cyprus for the support to the UNSC. Two MOUs have been signed. Now, one deals with money laundering and cooperation in financial matters, and the other is in the field of environment. The noteworthy part is that Cyprus is the eighth biggest investor in India. About $2 billion worth of investments have been made. And President Kovind has really pitched for India, one of the fastest growing economies and a very friendly investment destination. And the thrust is on IT and IT services, in which tiny Cyprus can do a lot. In fact, our present High Commissioner, Mr. R.K. Raghavan, and I see a special article in one of the papers out there, and where he says that there is so much that the two countries can learn from each other.
That is true. It is not just the traditional political cooperation and the traditional friendship and our steadfast support to each other on matters and issues of vital national interest, but also there has been a steady expansion of the economic cooperation, cultural cooperation, including now into the new areas of India's strength. And as you said very rightly, here is Cyprus, which is, you know, a country of less than almost 1 million, and with such a high per capita and very high human development index. Having said that, economy, of course, basically is services. They're very strong in services, banking, investment, accounting, and so on. And the second is tourism. Third, now, for the last few years, they have been wanting to make the third pillar of their economy in order to introduce a degree of stability and predictability, because the other two are a little more, tend to be susceptible to external pressure. So in that aspect, as you have very rightly said, they see a lot of potential, and the president has absolutely spot on, I think, in highlighting the opportunities now for Cyprus to benefit from India's advances in IT, IT-enabled services, biotechnology, pharmaceuticals, and, you know, renewable energy and non-renewable. These are the fields, innovative, more or less in a kind of innovative platform, where this their economy, tiny as it is, you know, I mean, they cannot absorb your consumers' surpluses. They're not a market in that sense for those kind of goods, but they certainly are for this very sophisticated segment, where in the past, of course, Indian companies have done a lot of projects, you know, in the shipping and power and so on. But the new areas, as you just mentioned, actually open up a lot of possibilities in both ways. I mean,
what are the areas where Cyprus has invested in India?
I used to always wonder, how could it be that they would, again, but because being very, very, I just cited the indicators, actually very developed economy. In fact, you know, in recent years, because after joining the EU, there was perhaps, and also joining the Eurozone, that might have been a little hard for Cyprus because they were adversely impacted by the Eurozone crisis in 2011 and so on. Otherwise, in fact, I remember they were yet higher, I think, than 8 before they joined the European Union, perhaps because it was always an offshore. It was a center for offshore business activities. But after joining the European Union, I guess these are the very sectors, I think, were the financial services and so on, high end of the services sector, and our own people who are wanting to set up their projects in all the sort of new areas as they come up.
We already have a lot of Indian entrepreneurs out there.
I would say not a lot. There could be a lot more. But then when I think, I used to also, when I was there, I would even now probably urge that they can be, European Union as a whole can have slightly more open and receptive policies when it comes to movement of human resources, of the personnel from third, not the EU only, but third countries as it were. There is scope for more, but when you think of the total size and the total number, of course as India's representative or as the Honorable President would have felt, there can be so much more.
Have gone there for higher education.
Actually, I'm glad to hear that the number is increasing, as it is increasing in the mainland, in the continental Europe also. It is actually both the high-end skilled workers, that is the IT, because there are these IT firms. There were some very big names, Cyprus firms, which were bringing, just like in other European countries. Then there's also the low-end, the unskilled, because they have huge farmlands, you know, just like Germany used to get, Ireland used to get. Italy does. They get a large number of unskilled or lower end migrant labor to work on the plantations and the farms. Cyprus also did. The third for us is students, and then who want to part-time work, like being in construction sectors and so on. Very many students, and I was surprised, not only just from India, from China, from other places, who see this as their entry to Europe. They would like to study there, would also then like to look for opportunities to work. It's a country which is politically friendly and culturally very receptive to Indians. So they like to go
encompassing
there.
Encompassing all that you said, you know, the President Cohen's subject, he's going to talk to the University of Cyprus. And there is very aptly youth, technology and ideas. Now, an inevitable subject that comes in the present times that we are going through, a common stand on radicalization and fighting terrorism, that has been part of the discussion.
But that's an area Cyprus has always understood our concerns. It has also always taken a very principled stand on international terrorism, as it were, and very specifically on India's concerns on the matter and drug trafficking, and particularly kind of terrorism and the kind of threats that India has been facing. And they showed their solidarity as well at the time of the attack on the parliament and on Mumbai and so on. So Cyprus is quite steadfast, I think, when it comes to taking a resolute stand on condemning terrorism in all forms and all manifestations.
On that very, very positive note, thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India-Cyprus bilateral relations. The participants were Neelam D. Sabharwal, former diplomat, and Mahendra Ved, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.